Thanks, Pastor Rob. Thank you, church. How are we? Doing good. Lovely to see you all. And as Pastor Claire mentioned, we are, 3.5 weeks away from Extreme Conference. So please be praying with us. We are believing that this year, as we do every year, we're just believing for just an incredible move of the Spirit of God. We have youth and young adult people varying ages coming from all over Queensland, and believing that this would be just not a fun 3 days, but that would be lives transformed and people set free, healings, signs and wonders, salvation. So please partner with us in prayer, and we're believing it's going to be another incredible year. This morning I want to talk about the Holy Spirit and our need for Him. But let's quickly pray and before we dive in. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence. Lord, it is such an honor, it is such a joy to be in your house this morning. Thank you that we can freely gather, Lord, without threat of persecution, without worry of attacks or anything. Lord, help us to never take your presence for granted. Help us to not take this gathering, the gathering of the saints, for granted. So Lord, we just say, come and have your way. Lord, would you just go before our time together? And Lord, we just desire that you would be glorified, that you would be lifted up, and that we would, your sons and daughters, your hands and feet, we would see your name glorified and magnified across our city. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you've got your Bibles, why don't you flick over to Matthew chapter 5. If you're looking for that, it's just straight after Matthew chapter 4. Just before Matthew chapter 6. Sorry, I'll stop. Matthew 5, verse 3, it should come up on the screen. It said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Blessed are the poor in spirit. I don't know about you, but I think over the years when I've read this, this is the first of the Beatitudes in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. When I've read this, it can be easy to interpret this one in particular as, blessed are those who they're in poor spirits. Like they're, you know, if we're just a little bit down in the dumps, you're blessed. Blessed are those who, you know, if our spirits are poor. Or it could be interpreted as, blessed are the poor. If we don't have any material resource, then you're blessed. Whilst the Lord's, I don't think that's what Jesus is talking about here, or else each one of us would be selling absolutely everything we own and living in a state of poverty to attain the blessing of God. But that doesn't sound like the heart of the Father, does it? Does it? No. That word poor in the Greek, it's talking about being in lack of something, being helpless or powerless to accomplish an end, in a state of needing to beg to receive anything. It's a state of desperation of, I can't do something on my own. I love how it's broken down in the Amplified. It should also pop up. It says, blessed, happy, to be envied. I love that, to be envied. And spiritually prosperous, with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward conditions. That sounds pretty good, hey? Are the poor in spirit, the humble, who rate themselves insignificant. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So this state of being poor in spirit is, it's not, I'm just a bit down in the dumps, my spirits are poor. It's not just, I have no money, or I need to not have any money or material possessions to be blessed, but it's the state of desperation. And that word spirit is actually the word pneuma, which is a word used in Greek for the Holy Spirit. It's not used to describe something that isn't a personal thing, a depersonalized force, but pneuma, a word of the Holy Spirit. So perhaps another way of looking at this beatitude, this verse, would be to say, blessed are those who acknowledge their need for the Holy Spirit. Blessed are you if you acknowledge, I need the Holy Spirit. Without Him, I can do nothing. And this is the first of the Beatitudes. This is the first step before the rest of them flow on. Charles Spurgeon, he says, everyone can start here. It isn't first blessed are the pure or the holy or the spiritual or the wonderful. Everyone can be poor in spirit. It's not what I have, but what have I not is the first point of contact between my soul and God. Not what I have, but what I do not have. That first step of just acknowledging need. That's our step in. And this is quite early on in Jesus' public ministry. This would have been very revolutionary for the time. In the days that, you know, they were living in, spiritual authority, that was usually emphasized by how well you knew the scripture, or perhaps your status in the temple. That the kingdom of heaven is mine, I'm blessed as long as, you know, if I can prove that I know this more than anyone else, I'm spiritually rich, that's the goal. And Jesus is coming in and saying, he's breaking that mentality of that it's not a status thing, it's not what I do have, but what I don't have, and I need what I desperately need. Without the Holy Spirit, I have nothing. I am helpless. We need the Holy Spirit, amen? And I think it requires two ingredients, hunger and humility. We need to be humble to acknowledge the fact that we need the Lord, amen? And then hunger attached to that humility to seek, to pursue, to go after. In John 5, verse 30, this is the words of Jesus. He says, I can do nothing on my own. That's the Son of God. And we look at his life and the commissioning of his public ministry as John the Baptist baptizes him and the heavens open and the Spirit of God descends upon him like a dove. And from that point on, his public ministry is launched. Jesus is saying, I can do nothing on my own. How much more for us? And further on in John 15, the passage about the true vine. And in verse 5, he says, we'll quickly flick there, it's not on the screen. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Verse 5 in John 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. That's a daunting reality, isn't it? That if we are running our own race and trying to produce fruit on our own and accomplish things, but if we are not in a state of acknowledging our need for the Lord to keep us connected to Christ, we can produce nothing. So some questions I've been asking myself recently has been, where have I lost dependency on Holy Spirit?
have I just kind of been like, I think I can make some decisions on my own. I think I can figure these things out. Or am I viewing myself as rich in spirit because of, okay, if I'm diving into the scriptures and I've got it all worked out, I don't have need for the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 8, it says, knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And we cannot inherit the kingdom of God without an acknowledgement of our need for the Lord. And if we think about our own journey, for those that have, you know, kind of stepped into a relationship with Christ, this is the first point of coming into salvation, isn't it? When we recognize, I am in desperate need of a Savior. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. But His work is to be a continuing work. That we never depart from that place of utter desperation of, I am in desperate need of a Savior. I am in desperate need of a Savior today more than ever. It's not that I've walked with the Lord now for, you know, most of my life and Jesus, I think I'm good now. Holy Spirit, we're good. I think I've got it figured out. I think I know how to do it now. No. Let us be a people that stay desperate, constantly acknowledging how much we need the Holy Spirit. Blessed are those who acknowledge their need for Holy Spirit. So I think to help us acknowledge our need, we need to know the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. If we aren't aware of what His work is in our lives, then we probably won't place a value on our need for Him. Holy Spirit, He's a person. He's the third person of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Not some mysterious force, but He is in equality, in perfect harmony with God the Father, with Jesus. And we have the Holy Spirit. And I think the work of the Spirit is so much more than about a prayer language. And my fear is that sometimes, you know, across the greater body of, you know, believers across the world, is that maybe some perspectives have been different around it, speaking in tongues, prayer language and whatnot. And the temptation could be, well, I'll throw the baby out with the bathwater. But far be it from us, far be it from any of us to not acknowledge Holy Spirit in equal harmony and unity in the Trinity. Amen. So I want to just pop a list. It'll come up on the screen. This is not exclusive, but this is just some of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The first one I've got up there is John 16:14. He points us to Jesus. It says, He will glorify me, for He will take what is mine and declare it to you. Without the Holy Spirit, we can't even confess Jesus is Lord. That moment of salvation, like I was just talking about, that moment of acknowledging I need a Savior and I'm declaring that Jesus Christ is Lord, that is only by the Holy Spirit. He illuminates and brings life to the Scriptures. So to think that we can actually fully understand the Word of God without the Holy Spirit, it just will not work. He gives us the ability to live righteously. Galatians 5, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. John 16, He convicts us of sin. Freedom, 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. He helps us understand the mysteries of God. 1 Corinthians 2, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. He's the giver of gifts. We see there's 9 spiritual gifts for all believers. Romans 8, he leads us. I love this. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. We need the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The renewed mind, the end of 1 Corinthians 2, talks about us having the mind of Christ. To acknowledge that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. That the Lord would actually put his Spirit to indwell inside of us. The ability to behold him, to be made into Christ's image. 2 Corinthians 3 again, verse 18, and we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. And it concludes by saying, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So to be made into Christ's image from one degree, step by step, only possible by the work of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, he helps in our weaknesses. And John 16, 13, he is our guide. This one here, it says, Jesus is talking to his disciples about his departure and the Holy Spirit's arrival. And he says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. I was thinking upon this the other day, and it's a beautiful picture, again, that sums up the work of the Holy Spirit. That he is the one that will guide us into all truth. It's not us trying to guide ourselves into all truth, but it's him, the Holy Spirit. It says that he will guide us. This is his desire. This is his aim. This is his role in our life, to guide us. And I think that picture of a guide is just so beautiful. You know, if you think of, say, a tour guide that might be at a, I don't know, tourist center, and they're ready and they're waiting, but it's up to the availability of the visitor or the guest to make access of that guide to then go and show the people what it is that they're wanting to see. Does that make sense? Let me put it this way. This is not what a guide is. Some years ago, Beck and I, we nabbed a deal to go down to the Gold Coast and stay at the Marriott, which was way out of our price range, but this deal was crazy. So we went down there, and let me tell you, it helps to read the fine print. We didn't realize that the only reason this was such a good deal was you had to sit through a two-hour presentation where you'd have a representative from Marriott, and they would go through and show you all of their different accommodation options around the world. And if you just pay a certain amount, you know, timeshare, does that sound familiar? Yeah. And all of the fine print, it was, once we started reading it, we're like, oh my goodness. It was like, if you miss your appointments, we're going to charge you the full rate of your, you know, if you try and leave early, you can't do that. You know, there was all of these conditions. That person showing us, I don't call that person a guide. This person was like, look at this now, and look at that, and look at that. And okay, now sign the paper here. And like, we felt forced into, you know, signing up to this thing. So please contact me if anyone wants to travel across to... No, I'm kidding. We didn't. We said no, thanks. See you later. We're not interested. And man, the mood changed after that. But anyway, couldn't get rid of us quick enough. But that's like a almost like a leading, forceful kind of like, come here, look at this now. This is that deal. You know, if you sign up here, that's not a guide. And that is not how the Holy Spirit operates. I think he is here and he is available as much as we acknowledge our need for him. I think there's a difference between acknowledging the Holy Spirit. Okay, yep, he's real. He's the third person of the Trinity. Great, there's all these things. And acknowledging our need for him. And there are many more roles and functions that he has. Oh, but it is all to point us to Jesus. It is all to just reveal Christ. It is all to make what is written experiential, to move things from our head to our heart, so that we can see his power and his glory released through the earth, so that he might be made manifest to the believers and by extension, the entire earth. That is why Jesus said, it's better that I go, because the helper's gonna come. Because he can fill us all, and we can go forth and see healings like Pastor Rob's believing for and contending for, miracles, salvations, our city's influenced, our city's transformed. So we need his continuing work in our lives, amen. I don't know about you, but I believe it is impossible to live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit. So what happens when we don't acknowledge our need? I'm reminded of the Laodicean church in Revelation 3. In verse 17, it says, "For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked." Getting to this state of thinking, I'm actually fine, I'm all good. But we become unaware of how we really are. I don't know about you, but that's a scary place. Maybe the team can come up and join me. I believe that we simply just need to yield and surrender to the Holy Spirit. Is this okay? Why don't we turn over to Ephesians 5:18. This is Paul, and he's saying, "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." Now, this is off the back of Paul saying for us, the Church of Ephesus, but this is obviously for us as well, to be imitators of God, that impurity shouldn't be named among us as believers, that we need to be careful how we live, that we need to understand what the will of the Lord is. How do we do all of this? The Holy Spirit, by being filled with the Holy Spirit. And we can grieve him. In Ephesians 4:30, it says we can grieve the Holy Spirit by not acknowledging his work in our lives, by not acknowledging by not living in a place that is worthy of the righteousness and the freedom and all of the things that Christ paid such a high price for us. And this word filled is more about keeping on being filled. It's not a one-time thing. In the Greek, it's pleroo. And that means to render complete. So it's not just a volume capacity thing, but a complete influential thing. To acknowledge that the Spirit of God is our leader and that he needs to fully influence our life. So it's not just I'm topped up, thanks Holy Spirit, feeling good. That he is to become the major, main, sole, only, influential voice and lead in our life. That he would have access to everything in our heart and in our lives. And to think that we have access to the very Spirit of God living inside of us. And all it takes is availability to acknowledge our need for him. And I think an important note is that all it takes is surrender. It's not a deciding, oh yeah, that does sound pretty good, cool. But of surrendering, of yielding control, of saying, Holy Spirit, yeah, You can have all of me. You can have my world, my life, my thoughts, everything. Knowing that his role is to point us to Jesus, to reveal Jesus, and that Jesus, he reveals the Father to us, and that the Father, he pours out his Spirit to all believers so that the Spirit can reveal Jesus to us, so that the Spirit, so that Jesus can take us to the Father, so that the Father can pour out his Spirit upon us. It's such a beautiful cycle and harmony that is to be experiential for each and every one of us. And so really this morning, I just wanted to create some space for us to simply ask, Holy Spirit, I need more of you. To acknowledge your need for the Holy Spirit. You might be here this morning and you might be feeling dry, or you might be feeling distant from God. But looking at how the Holy Spirit operates, you know, I heard it said that, and this really ministered to me, that the fact that you're aware that you are dry or that you are feeling distant from God, that is work of the Holy Spirit, because you're realizing that this is not a state I want to be in. Does that make sense? So just honor the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, even in that, to kind of go, oh, whoa, Holy Spirit, you're at work when I don't even realize it. But maybe we can all stand. That's okay. In Luke 11:13, Jesus is, you know, saying about who, you know, if your father who would give a serpent instead of a fish. If someone's asking for an egg, you'll give him a scorpion. But in verse 13, he says, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? It's hunger, it's humility, and it's surrender to go, Holy Spirit, I need you. And the Lord responds to hunger. One of the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Psalm 107, he satisfies the longing. Pastor Rob was sharing on faith, and I think faith is such a key in all of this. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we're going to sing a song soon, and I just want you to respond in faith, to ask God for more of his Holy Spirit in your life. So why don't you just close your eyes and just become aware of him, and just in your own words, Holy Spirit, I need you. Holy Spirit, come and fill me again.
Come.
heart to ask of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we need you. We need you, we need you, we need you. We can't do anything without you. Thank you, Lord, that you said that you'd pour out your Spirit without measure. So we just thank you for not just a little here and there, but Lord, come and fill our lives. Come and consume our lives, Holy Spirit. We yield our hearts this morning. We surrender to your will. We surrender to your way, Holy Spirit. Blessed are those who acknowledge their need for Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that this is available for all. Lord, we just say yes to the work of the Spirit. We just say yes to your leadership. Couple more minutes, I just encourage you, just keep leaning in. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, come and fill us. Come and fill us. If you can pray in tongues, may just pray in tongues. Let the Holy Spirit intercede on your behalf. How much more will God give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Some of you need to get uncomfortable. Some of you need to lean in by faith. Not by what you feel, not by what's around, but by faith. Just ask, ask, ask Him for more. Ask Him for more. He's a faithful, faithful God that will pour out His Spirit without measure. Come and glorify Christ in our lives. Come and reveal Jesus, Holy Spirit. Just respond in faith, whatever you feel. Just honor whatever you feel is taking place in your heart. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord. And they are.
Heaven come down, Spirit.
declare that we would be a people filled by your Spirit. The very Spirit of God, empowered by your Spirit, released through your Spirit, guided and led by your Spirit, motivated by the Spirit's work in our lives, not by external circumstances. Lord, that we would see our cities transformed, that we would see our families transformed, that we would see your glory and your presence go forth. The only thing that can save humanity, the only thing. Lord, so we just say yes to more of your Holy Spirit in our lives. Lord, we say yes, we say yes, we say yes. Oh, we make ourselves available. And Lord, help us by your Spirit to stay in this place of total dependence and desperation and need for your Holy Spirit, that we would never think that we have graduated past our need for the Holy Spirit. So Lord, we repent where that may have been the case, and we just honor the work of your Spirit in our lives. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that it would be unto your glory, unto your name being made known. Thank you, Lord God. We would love to open the altars this morning if you need prayer. And we'll have tea and coffee available, but just another note is MCC, they've got chess competition tomorrow, so if we could have just a few hands, help us stack all the chairs. We're just going to leave these first three rows here in the middle. But if all of the other chairs could just get stacked over to the sides, that would be amazing. So gents, let's take the lead on that. And if you want to just grab your belongings so they don't get squished or trampled on. But if you need prayer, please come down to the front. We would love to pray with you. Otherwise, we're so looking forward to seeing you tonight at 5 o'clock. For the prayer meeting, and 5:30 we're going to lean in and believe for healing to take place. So we bless you, we love you, have a great week, go and say hello to some people.